Amen. Children can be dismissed for Children's Church. Come right over to this corner over here and follow my wife out to Children's Church today. Amen. Give them just a second. In the meantime, you can turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Are you joining them this morning, Miss Doris, as well? Appreciate that. All right. Some of you have to stay in here, but all right. Romans chapter 12. We have been studying Romans chapter 12 for the past several weeks. Up to Romans 12, chapters 1 through 11, the book of Romans, Paul is focusing on salvation. What salvation is, how we are saved, all the ins and outs of salvation. Once your salvation is settled in Christ, through faith in Christ, then it's time to get to work in service to Christ. And Romans 12 is about our service to Christ. Now that salvation is settled, if you put your faith in Christ, you become part of the family of God. Now, what does God expect of us next? And those are the things he discusses in Romans 12. And so we've been spending some time on that. We're just going to look at verses 15 and 16 this morning. Verses 15 and 16 from Romans 12. We went to the end of the chapter, but we skipped these two verses last week, so we're going back to get them because I wanted to focus in particular on them. Verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. May it not return void. May you use it mightily to conform us to the image of your Son, to bring souls to the Savior. And may you be glorified and magnified in it today. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. This is part 8 in this series. This one entitled, "One in Christ." One body, one mind, one heart. The church is made up of many members, many individual children of God, but yet it is one body in Christ, one family in Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 3, it has this to say concerning the members of the body of Christ in the city of Philippi, Paul wrote, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." This is a high mark that God has set. It is not human nature to esteem other better than ourselves. But it is divine nature to do so. For that is what Christ demonstrated when he left heaven to die for us. And that is what God has given us in his Spirit, that same love for one another, to esteem other better than ourselves. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, just the last couple of verses, what I read a few minutes ago, says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. One body in Christ. The church is one body of born-again believers in Jesus Christ, is made up of many members, but it is meant to function as a single organism with one mind, one purpose, and one central nervous system. So we'll look at those three here this morning. First of all, it has been emphasized here that we are to be of one mind, of the same mind, verse 16 in Romans 12. Be of the same mind one toward another. The Bible makes this the easy part. The mind is the mind of who? It is the mind of Christ Jesus, who is the head of the church. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church. When the Bible speaks of being one mind, there can be no debate that mind is Christ's, the living word, revealed in the what? The written word. And in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit that he has given to us. The same mind as Christians and as church members we should share is the mind of Christ, our Savior. It says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The mind of Christ is a what? It is a loving mind. It is a kind and merciful mind. It is a humble mind. It is also an obedient, righteous, and just mind. This is our Savior's mind. And it is to be ours through the Spirit that he has sent unto us to lead us as his church in his service and to bind us together in his love as one loving family here to carry forth his purpose. In Ephesians 5:23 it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the what? The head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. A church unyielded to Christ and his word is not a proper or effective church. For every organism must have a head. And what head can there be in the church but Christ? He must be our head. We must follow his mind and heart. One of the reasons for preaching and teaching the Word of God weekly to the congregation is so that we all will know God's Word, so that we all will know God's mind, so that we can be directed together in his service. We preach the word to bring glory to our Father. We preach the word in praise and honor of him that gave it. We preach the word to share the salvation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost souls. We share it also so that we might be united in one behind it, in God's love, God's holiness, God's cause, the cause of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gave us one another. He gave pastors, he gave teachers, evangelists, missionaries, deacons. He gave us each other that we might edify and exhort one another, that we might help each other to learn and understand the mind of Christ and to apply it to our lives together as we serve Him and each other. Believers need to know God's Word to do this. We need to understand God's Word. We need to apply it to our lives, to the ministry of our church, and to our relationship with one another. And as we do that, as we learn what the mind of Christ is, then we need to submit to it. For it's not enough to know it, but we must be willing to what? To follow it. To submit to our Savior and our Lord. It's more than knowing, it also requires submission. If the church, its members, are not yielded to God's Word, His leading via His Spirit in their lives, then the church will fail. Because this church is made up of many what? Members. And the success of the church and the testimony that it has in this place depends upon the relationship of every member with Christ and putting on the mind of Christ. And as we put on that mind of Christ together, as we learn together, as we apply it together, as we struggle together, we find unity in Jesus. We find unity of purpose. Not by rule, but by nature. As we are following the same Savior and Lord and doing His will together. If we grow together in the mind of Christ, we will prosper in our love and service to one another and as a testimony of the grace of God before the world in which we live. Which brings us to the second, mind, the mind of Christ. Purpose, a machine, an organism, a body has a mind. But it also has a what? It also has a purpose. What is our purpose? Why are we here? So many people ask that question, and sadly, so many people out there today in the world have no answer. They don't know their purpose in being on this planet. Either no one has told them, or they have rejected it. In many cases, so many are being told today, young people, that they are without purpose. We see the suicide rate climbing in our country today. Why? Because people don't realize they have a purpose. They have a Creator who made them with a purpose. What is our purpose? What is the purpose of the church? The Bible makes clear also the purpose of the church. And it is to do the will of who? It is to do the will of Christ and bring glory to our Father which is in heaven. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. No matter what you're doing, our purpose as children of God, our purpose as the church, as the body of Christ, is to properly represent who? Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the head on this earth. to bring glory to his name. Jesus went back where? To heaven. People can't see him today. One day every knee will see and every knee will what? Bow. But God wants people today to see Christ in who? In us, in his church. Our purpose as the church is to bring glory to our Savior in heaven, to show others what he is like, what he is able to do in the lives of people. We represent him. We are the salt and the what? And the light to the world today. He is the light of the world, but that light is reflected through his children and through his church. Song I used to listen to in high school, and one of the phrases near the end was this: "You're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need, because you're the only Jesus that some will ever see. Some will never walk in through those doors. Some will never pick up a Bible. But they work with you. They live beside you. They know you. Let them see Jesus in you." Jesus came from heaven to become the way, the truth, and the life. That is the way to know and to be with the Father. But when he went back to heaven, he commissioned the church to carry on that purpose, to bring others to reconciliation with God through the gospel message and through our gospel testimony. By declaring and demonstrating as his church, his love. Oh, how people need love today. Now, some misconstrue that in popular society as other things. They don't need us condoning what is wrong, because that really isn't what? That really isn't love. Love is telling people the what? The truth. Love is warning people if they're going to go off the cliff because the bridge is out. Love is not only telling others the truth, but it's showing others what love really is. Mowing the neighbor's grass, being kind when they're mean, helping that person stranded along the side of the road, helping somebody who can't help themselves. Declaring and showing the love of Christ, his mercy and grace, his holiness, his goodness, his sovereignty. We do this by living a separated, holy life, apart from the world around us, as we serve a different king. We march to the beat of a different what? Drum. Let others see that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is the work of God in us. They need to see that. And we fulfill our purpose by letting other people see that. That we live for who? That we live for Christ. And that makes a difference in the things I do. That makes a difference in the things I say. That even makes a difference in the things I think and the attitude that I display. Too many people out there today saying, "I'm a Christian," but they're living just like what? just like the world. They're not fulfilling their purpose. So if the salt has lost its savor, then it's good for nothing to be what? Cast out on the street and trodden under the foot of men. That's what Christ said. What is that a metaphor for? That's to say this. If our testimony is lost, if we have just become just like the world, what? How are we going to point others to Christ? How are we going to make a difference if we're no different? We must be different. Not just for the sake of being different, but in following the will of our Savior and bringing glory to His God, our God. By living a separated holy life, by celebrating Christ, gathering together to proclaim His word to one another and all who will come, singing songs of praise unto His name, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How do we fulfill our purpose? By living a holy life. How do we fulfill our purpose? By doing what you're doing this morning. I get up on Sunday morning and I pull out of my road onto Belcher Road. Normally, I can see up to 100 cars on Belcher Road when I pull up to that stop sign, going this way and that way, and I can see Olmerton just a block up. Sunday morning, I pull up. I saw one car. What's the rest of the world doing? Well, a few of them are working. Quite a few of them are sleeping in, watching TV, going to the grocery store, mowing their lawn. They're not doing what? They're not going to church. But you're here. And as children of God, we ought to be here. Because it's important. Because our Savior is worth it. We fulfill our purpose by living a separated holy life throughout the week. We fulfill our purpose by celebrating Christ as we gather together to praise His name and to listen to His word. And we fulfill our purpose by going into the highways and the byways and compelling them to come to Jesus, sharing the good news, the gospel, with all who will hear. Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. That's just for preachers, right? No. The word preach means to proclaim. And if you're a child of God, you can tell others. You are a witness. God has put you here to let your light shine before men by taking a track off that back table back there and sharing it with somebody this week. Maybe the person who served you food at the restaurant. Or maybe the coworker. Someone else that you cross paths with. By telling your neighbor how important Jesus is to you. You don't have to start with, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to start with the Romans Road. You can start with, what did you do this weekend? Well, I went to church. I worshiped the Lord. How was your week? Well, my week was good. God answered prayers in my life. Share Jesus. And then share the gospel, that the Savior you know, they can know too. Doing this in love for Christ, each other, and the world is our purpose. And while you may have other laudable goals in life, family goals, goals for your children, goals for your work and career, those goals need to find a place in God's purpose. They need to fit with God's goals for His church and not the other way around. We are first and foremost citizens of where? If you're a child of God, you're a citizen of heaven. And then I'm a citizen of the United States and Florida in Pinellas County. But first, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm afraid too many Christians do not live that way, but the other way around. We try to force God's goals into our purpose. We put our goals first and God's goals what? Second. And then it gets all jumbled up. And we're not the testimony we ought to be. And we're not fulfilling the purpose that we ought to fulfill. As one body, with one mind, serving the Lord together. Because we put the cart before the horse. Get things back in right order. Purpose of Christ first. And you know something? The other things will fall in what? They will fall into place if you'll put Jesus first. Our church and its ministry will fall into place if we put Jesus, His mind, His will, His glory first. And then finally, we have the mind, the purpose, and the central nervous system. Back to Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Meaning that when one is in pain, all feel it, and all come to their aid. For when my foot hurts, I take my hand and rub it. Why do I do that? Well, because when my foot hurts, I hurt. And I want my foot to quit hurting. So I rub my foot with my hand to try to get it to feel better. Because for the foot to hurt brings discomfort to the whole body, not just the foot. When one part is joyful, satisfied, or comforted, so is the whole body, or it should be. We should be able to rejoice in the blessings of others. We should rejoice with them. It should bring true rejoicing to our heart because when others, when God blesses them and when they're doing well, when God is moving in their life, it also affects who? Affects us because we're one body in Christ. And if we are truly bound together in love, when they're happy, we're happy. If when other people are happy and rejoicing in God's blessing, you're jealous, then something's what? Something's wrong. Because you shouldn't be jealous. You should be what? You should be rejoicing in their blessing. And if somebody is in pain and you're rejoicing, then something's wrong. Because when one of the members of the body is in pain, it should cause you to feel it and want to fix it, want to alleviate it. If my tummy is happy, my mind is happy. If my tummy is sick and nauseated, my mind is not happy. That should be the same case with the body of Christ. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them who weep. To function properly as one, as the church, one part of the body needs to be sensitive to the needs of the other, to show love and care for the other, to weep with that which hurts, to rejoice with that as rejoicing, to treat each part of the body in Christ as a member of the family, to show them that they matter and that we care. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. It's a loving mind. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Don't think too highly of who? Yourself. 1 Corinthians 8, Paul says, we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love what? Love edifieth. That love builds up others. When we think we know it all, and we think we should have control of it all, we tend to get proud and we hurt others. But when love takes over, and love is more important than us telling others what to do, we build others what? We build others up. This demands more than just a, how are you doing? Or hi there. Or glad to have you on Sunday morning. Now those things are good. Don't get me wrong. I hope you said hi to somebody when we shook hands a few minutes ago. But if that's the only contact or the only nice thing you have to say to the members of the body on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, then we're not quite getting the right picture. This demands more than just how are you doing, but time before and after service to talk and to pray. Some weeks, service is over and everybody's gone. Some weeks, service is over and 20 minutes later, I'm getting hungry and I want to go and I can't turn the lights out yet and lock the doors because we've got several people in here talking and praying together. You know, that's not a bad thing, that's a what? That's a good thing. Brother Rick Enterline is a member of our church and also a missionary. He'll be head of the Philippines here in just a few days. Lord willing, he's going to be with us tonight, get us to have the opportunity to tell us a little bit about his mission to the Philippines this time. But one thing that always impressed me with Rick is often after the service, I find him standing with somebody and he's praying with them. He's praying with them. He's praying with them because he cares. That's why. He's genuine. He's real. It's not his job. He just cares. That's the way we all should be. Maybe a phone call or a hospital visit, a get well card or an email or a bag of groceries or a ride to the doctor or to the store. Psalm 133:1 says this, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. What is unity? Unity is when a group of people have the same mind and heart and purpose and care for each other, doing that which they are called to do. Uniformity is trying to force people to unite that don't share a common faith and unity and purpose. But as God's children, as His church, as those who have a common Savior and share a common belief, unity should come natural. And it should be evident. We must cast aside our hurt feelings. Learn to put the needs of others before who? Ourselves. We must get our act together and remember what is really important. See ourselves as important members of the body and not leave it up to everybody else. We must confess our sins before our Savior and get busy serving and following the head which is Christ, that we might be unified in His service, His cause, His purpose, who is our Lord, our Savior, our example, our head. The one who gave His life to redeem us, to bring us into His family. Today I've spoken to those that are already in the family. But if you're here this morning and you've yet to receive the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, I would challenge you today. I would plead with you today. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you will put your faith and trust in Him, He will welcome you into His family today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. Lord, we thank You for the family that You've given us. We thank You for the church that You've given us. And pray, Lord, that we might be united together, knit together in love and in purpose and service to Jesus Christ, our King. That we would not allow hurt feelings and personality conflicts and conceit and selfishness to destroy that unity. That we might contend for the faith, that we might keep it pure and apply it to our hearts and lives. That united we might bring glory to the God who made us and the Son who saved us. And we pray, Lord, if there's one here today that is yet to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their lives, that they might come as we sing this hymn of invitation today and come to know the Lord as Savior. Lord, for thus those of us who know You, I pray that we might consider in our hearts whether there be something between our soul and the Savior. We might take care of that also today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you take your hymn books, turn to hymn number 393, if you would. 393, and we'll sing a verse or two of Take My Life and Let It Be. But as we do, if the Lord has spoke to your heart, you don't have to sing, you can pray. If you feel the need, I'll meet you down here. I'll pray with you this morning. If you've never trusted Christ, I would love to share with you the gospel of Jesus today. Standing, please, if you would, to sing with me. Take My Life and Let It Be, 393.